Okay, so we're back. We're back in the fishbowl, the Shark Tank of the fishbowl. We have no live studio audience except for the mimes.
But so you can't really tell they're here, but we're excited to have them here.
Yeah, there's just thousands. Thanks for coming back, guys.
There's silence. It's an unbelievable amount of mimes.
Yes.
I didn't know there was that many.
Unbelievable amount. We had 5 downloads on our last episode.
Wow. Yeah, really? So downloads? That means they listen to it offline.
I guess.
That's how.
I don't know what that means.
That's how popular it
is. Yeah, we had like 18 on the first one, though. So wow. Maybe, yeah. There's a few of them. We're old enough to get drafted.
That's true.
Right?
That's exciting.
What 18 means? Okay.
Yeah. I think that's what that means.
So
the topic of discussion that we're talking about today is reading. We mentioned it last time. I always had, when I was in school, I couldn't read for a long time. Like, I really just couldn't read at all when I was growing up.
So what does that mean, though? Like, what were your first memories of reading?
My first memories of reading were when I was really little, I probably like 3 or 4, and I was just trying to read regular books that we had in our house.
So these were like your mom's an educator, so she would, and by the way, we support JCPS students.
Exactly.
Yeah, or teachers.
Yeah.
And teachers.
Yes. Students. Students, yes. The whole group.
We support them, and there's a lot of stuff going on. So JCPS teachers, good luck to you. We hope you get what you need.
And dyslexics, we hope you learn how to read.
Yes.
Yeah.
Need and read.
And read.
That rhymes. So you know it means something honest and true, right?
So... yeah, so my mom had a small amount of books.
And right.
We had like, well, actually, we had a relatively
I'm
large.
I'm sure you had lots of books.
Yeah, we had a lot of books. And I would just try to read them, and I had no idea what they were saying. And my dad would come in, and he'd be like, see me trying to read them. And then he would read them to me and be like, don't you see that? Because he knows that I've been learning how to read, you know, quote, unquote, in school. And I just couldn't do it. It was like looking, I describe it now as like looking at hieroglyphs. Like it wasn't like...
You knew they were supposed to make some kind of noises or sounds.
But they didn't. Yeah. There was nothing.
There's I've been doing a little bit of research since I'm doing a podcast on dyslexia, I might as well like do a little
right,
research.
Right.
There are kind of two ways of learning to read that are kind of popular. There's probably a million ways to learn.
Right.
But there are two ways that are really popular in our in American educational system. One is the phonics.
Mm-hmm.
And the other, I forget what they call it, like memorized words, or do you know that term? It's like word recognition.
It's pattern recognition. You literally just memorize the patterns that are involved in making a word.
M-A-K-E is the word make. You don't learn to sound it out. You just know that that's
and
the
that
word
was
make.
Totally how I started.
Is that how they
start? That's 100% how I started.
You recognize this word. You recognize.
See, yeah, it's like you know this. And what's funny is I've heard people like make the jokes that like, I'm not sure if I know how to read. I may have just memorized a lot of words. So what's the difference?
Yeah, I guess for me, I learned phonics.
Oh, you were hooked on phonics.
I was hooked on phonics because phonics was hooked on me.
Yeah.
So I remember my mom like helping me break down every word into letters.
Right.
That's how I taught my kids too.
Mm-hmm.
So I did read painfully slowly, but
right.
I did read in kindergarten. I remember.
Wow.
That's my first memory of, I think, realizing that I did not read like everyone else in my class.
See, I couldn't separate letters in words. Like I'm saying hieroglyphs. Like when I looked at a word, I couldn't differentiate one letter from the other letter.
I literally had my finger like...
going across
break
the page
each apart, because I can focus on small things, but if you show me the whole paragraph, I have a really tough time with it.
So
but if I can kind of narrow it down, even today, like I read, I'm a PhD, I would kind of read
right.
For a
oh good
I read
yeah sometimes
a
yeah
even today though, like I put my hand on the page or
and
a piece of paper
it. Right,
because otherwise I jump, I can't
right,
I can't follow the line. Do you have that?
Yeah. Oh, for okay. Sure. Right. And it's gotten better, and I'll tell you why. So the first thing I ever did that I ever remember doing, there was tons of stuff. I would work all through the school year and then all through the summer, every single summer.
So and it would be your mom kind of leading the way?
No, I went to actual like
experts.
Clinics is what they were.
Okay.
Like we would drive up to Lexington. I'm from Danville, Kentucky originally. We would drive up to Lexington, Kentucky, for those of you that are familiar. And I would go to these programs. And then I would also have what maybe... like some sort of tutoring program over the summer at home that would be a teacher that was involved in it was, you know, it was the disability office back then, and they
it still is today.
Yeah, and they would come and train me, I guess. And the first memories I have of that is going into this clinic in Lexington, and it was the first try my mom had, and we did things that were involved with balance and coordination. That's how I started. Because they thought that if you are out of balance physically, you would be out of balance mentally and thus not able to read. Because you can't, because, you see what I'm saying? Because it's like jolted and messed up is what I was seeing and describing. And they were like, oh, maybe your inner ear isn't balanced.
I've heard people say stuff like that. Uh-huh. Yeah, I just think, man.
It's interesting.
How naive.
So what I did is you would take this rope. And one teacher would hold one end, and I would hold the other end right up in between my eyes.
Okay.
And it would have a bunch of different balls on it. And I would be looking right above the balls.
Okay.
And I would have to train my brain to separate those balls apart to say, okay, this ball is farthest back. This ball is in the middle. This ball is before that ball. This ball is before that ball.
Okay.
Because when I first looked at the wire, when I first started, it was like up and down and up and down. It was moving. The balls were moving.
Right.
And then as I trained my brain over and over and over and over and over again after doing this, it was horrible, I was able to say, okay, that ball's in the back, that ball's in the middle, that ball's next.
Huh, so it worked.
It worked.
Huh.
It's fascinating. And then the next thing I did, I remember always doing, you take this huge sheet of paper, and it would have capital H, lowercase h. Just completely random, very small print, probably like 4-point font on this big sheet of paper, and you have to circle all the capital H's. So again, you train your brain to separate one part of something from another.
Okay.
And that, to this day, I probably still couldn't do. But that was one of the hardest ones I did, but I got better at it.
Okay.
I got better at doing that, and it I don't know if it's related at all, but
wow.
That's kind of my earliest memories of conscious efforts to organize my mind. Before at this point, we didn't know I had dyslexia. It was nothing. They just thought that I was mentally handicapped in some way. So this was the first trained exercise I remember in order to straighten out my mind a little bit.
Wow. Yeah, I guess I've done similar things.
And I can't remember what they're called. That type of... it's therapy. They always called it dyslexic or learning therapy.
So, I mean, you can... And you obviously can read now. So what was your... Do you have memories of, like... Of actually sitting down with a book or being made to read and actually doing it, but like plodding painfully through
Oh my God, yeah. Okay. And I remember like getting the gist was my biggest thing. Like I get this part, so I kind of see where this is going, and I get this part.
Right.
And I kind of like snaking, you know, down the page.
Okay.
Like, don't know what any of that is. Okay. Don't know what any of that is.
But maybe I can piece this together.
Maybe I can piece this together because I'm intelligent. Okay. Is really all it was. It's like a game, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. What about you? I always thought that was. I recognized, and it's because my parents were. I had a very good home life. I was never really, like, depressed or bad or anything. But I recognized that I was different in elementary school. I definitely recognized I was different because I was always separate. I was always like, so anytime we read, anytime we did anything like that, I was pulled out of class.
Okay.
And sat
see,
with
I,
the teacher.
Yeah,
see, that's where we were. That's where we
I
were
wasn't.
Different.
I was not diagnosed. Well, 70. I was born in 71, so we were talking about like 70. 7, 78.
Yeah, and see, mine's like...
And I don't think they even really
90,
knew.
Mine's like 1998, 1996.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know the history of dyslexia studies in America, but I don't think anyone really knew. At least,
people really still don't know, to be honest with you. I mean, if you look at research now...
Yeah, it's hard looking at research now because it's so focused on the reading, and I think... Reading, like we talked about, is just one technology.
Yeah.
So, I mean, would you judge a whole portion of the country by their typing skills, you know, or whatever? I mean, that's kind of how I feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's one skill that it's good to know, absolutely.
Right.
But if that's a measure of your whole worth or whole education, it's flawed.
Like at work, our best mechanic is completely illiterate. He can't read or write.
Right.
And he is our best worker, everything like that. So why should, why can't he be successful in this way, and then not be able to do this? I'm not saying that everybody should be illiterate. I'm just saying that there are other skills that can be valued over top of it if you're in a certain situation.
Yeah, and if you have a great mechanic, you have a great ally. I mean, that's exactly what the world needs, great mechanics. and so what if he watches a YouTube video on the new, you know,
exactly on how to do transmission, it, which they do, but, everybody, yeah. your doctors do it. Your doctors watch YouTube videos on how to do stuff. Maybe not surgeries, but, you know, therapy.
Right. So yeah, I remember really clearly the first time I realized that I was not reading like my class, and it was when I was in kindergarten, and I remember the teacher gave us a book and said, when you're done, it was a kid's book, one that you could probably, you know, bang out in like 4 minutes or two minutes, and it's like, read this and then you can go to recess.
Oh yeah, I never had recess.
And I remember reading through it thinking, yep, I'm just like everybody else, you know. And then, got it. Everybody's at recess, and I'm like only 2 pages in, you know.
And you're and you're like, that's
what?
Why, how can you be cheaters?
They're so fast,
cheaters.
I guess, you know, I thought that, but I realized that I'm not reading fast. Like, how can I read faster? Like,
why is
everyone else reading faster than me? And I remember being told over and over again to read, and it was just something I hated doing. Mm-hmm. I really hated it, and I had no pleasure in reading. And still to this day, like, I do enjoy reading, but I have to be in an environment where I can really focus.
Oh yeah.
Because if I'm in a distracted environment, like people like to read at the coffee shop, I can't read at the coffee shop.
No way. Yeah, I could not do it.
There's people walking in. There's noises. It's so hard to stay focused. If I'm in a shop like that or in a place like that with a lot of noise, I'll be reading, and then I look up and realize I have no idea what I've been looking at for the last half an hour.
And you can just keep looking at it over and over again.
Yeah, and you're like, let me do it again. No, I don't know what I read.
Or you get 2 pages down, and it's like, I have no idea.
I have no idea what I have no idea what I'm reading.
And I think that happens to a lot of people.
I do.
And I don't think that it's dyslexic specific, but it might be. You know, that's something that just has to do with how you're processing material.
Maybe. You know? But I know, like, my best reading is when I sneak into the third floor of the library and go in those back little alleys and get my piece of paper out and go line by line. I can actually read fast then.
Yeah.
Because I can focus.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm here in my office, it's really tough because, you know, things are moving, things are active.
The only time
brain
I
wants
read,
to be distracted, I think.
Oh, it does. Yeah. And the only – I read a little bit now. I have one book that I'm working through reading.
Okay.
And just for pleasure. The only time I can read it is if it's nighttime and I'm sitting in my bed and there's nothing else going on at all. I can just sit there and read the book. There's no other noise.
Yeah.
And I can't even do it for that long. I can probably only read for 45 minutes or something like that and then be –
I'm doing that now too. Like for the first time, I used to go to bed and just kind of surf on the my phone or whatever, and get on Instagram, which is my favorite social media, and just like look at pictures. Like, okay, I'm done. But I realized like it would still take me a second to shut my brain off.
Mm-hmm.
But if I get that book out and plod through 2 or 3 pages where I can just really be quiet and focus, then I'm like, I'm ready. My brain's tired.
Yeah, I'm tired.
That has been good for me. Because I don't know about you, like, my brain's always racing.
Oh,
always.
I would stay up really late. That was my problem.
Yeah, me too.
Because if you get right in front of a screen, you'll stay up.
And that's probably just everybody, I guess.
Yeah.
But a great way to work your brain out as a dyslexic is to read.
Oh, because it's so hard.
It's physically taxing.
And it always will be, I think. And it's still enjoyable. It's just you feel like you've really done something. I feel like if I read, like, during the day or something, like on a Sunday, I feel like really ready to like do other things after I've read. I don't know about you.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like kind of awake and kind of mentally prepared. I don't know the right way to put it. I just feel like,
I think for me, it's my body wants to do anything else.
Like, right.
Please stop.
Yeah, please stop. Now reading. You can do this and this and this.
Why don't you clean this room or do something else now? Like, stop. Just stop.
That might be what it is.
Yeah, and I'm like, I'm so happy to like cut the grass or something.
That's such a solid point. My brain's like, you know what? You know, forget you. Stop doing this.
Right. And like my wife is like we talked about, probably the opposite of dyslexic is I remember her getting a book and she would like read for 9 hours straight.
Yeah, that's what my girlfriend
finished the whole novel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm like, how did you do that? It'd take me a month, you know? I'm like, oh, I just like reading.
Well, we
like,
were...
I like reading too, but and I like jogging, but I'm not going to jog for 9 hours straight. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I love jogging, but I want to do it for a couple minutes and then stop.
Yeah, like my girlfriend and I got one of those Barnes & Noble subscriptions, you know, and it's like, okay, we're going to go to Barnes & Noble at least like once a month and maybe get a book.
Okay.
So we've had this for about 5 months. I'm on my first book. And she's read like 18 books at this point. You know what I mean? It's just completely different.
Yeah.
But along with reading, like the next thing that I did was probably in middle school. And this is after I had been like diagnosed or whatever. They said that I had dyslexia potentially. The Susan Barton Learning Program. Have you ever heard of that?
Mm-mm.
It's 8 different boxes, like packets, like big packets. And you do like one at a time, and like as you complete this big book, like binded book,
okay,
then you're done with that, and you complete and you complete and complete.
Like the learning modules, basically.
They're basically, yeah, old fashioned learning modules. Okay. And I would go through it with a tutor, and we would do all these different exercises, including the H1, you know, the H exercise. We'd do the ball exercise. We do.
They didn't do phonics.
No.
I don't know.
No.
I get that.
All different type of stuff. This was brand new.
Okay.
I was the first person in the state of Kentucky to ever even see this.
Okay.
And my mom will attest to it. It was the biggest change in mentality I've ever had by doing something like that. So if you're out there and you need a program, Susan Barton Learning Program, I think really turned my life around whenever I was in middle school.
Is that why you can remember numbers? Because I still can't.
It shot me up in 1 year. It shot me up 5 grade levels in reading.
Wow.
Because I was reading below, like way below, like probably 3 or 4 grade levels below the grade I was in. And then it shot me 5 above the grade that I was in. So I was actually a better reader than some of the other people that were in my class. And they even taught – I used to do a program when I was in high school. And this is where I really learned how to remember stuff, where they actually had you, like, write things out and then, like, remember them. And then it would go away in a certain period of time, and you'd try to see how far you could go.
Okay.
You actually do them on IQ tests also, if you've ever seen that. Yeah. If you've ever taken an IQ test, a lot of the big IQ tests will be like – here's 5 numbers, remember, you know, write them back. Here's 10 numbers, write them back. Here's 20 numbers, and see how far you can get.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. My
IQ does not.
And I can totally do that now.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and that's been really helpful for me at like with product codes and things like that. Like I can remember a product code that's like 12 digits long and write it down. Wow. And I could never, ever,
no,
ever do
that. No, there's no way. I can't even get 2 numbers correct in my head. I flip them around. If you're
that'll happen to me sometimes,
class
too.
With me and I'm like, in the textbook on page 1, 3, 4. Like,
yeah.
That's literally how I tell the
that's
class
how
to
I,
turn.
Well, and I have to do, like, I have such, like, dyslexic moments all the time at work. Like, I had, like, 4 different ones today where I just totally was like, hey, let's do this, when it's actually the complete, the direct opposite of it.
Like, what? What do you mean?
So it would even happen in, like, non-reading circumstances. So it's like, hey, let's go to, I can't differentiate 2 things that are really similar.
You need to expand
okay.
on that.
So
2 things.
So for me, so
like pet the dog or pet the cat.
No,
what do you mean?
like so. There's this business, a distributor for. Here's just a specific example. There's a distributor for tires called ATD.
Got it.
Then there's a distributor for tires called TSI.
Oh no, forget
one
it.
One of them sells Goodyear tires. One of them sells Michelin.
No,
and I get them backwards.
No yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, and I get them backwards all the time. I said, order some Michelins from ATD. And they said, you mean TSI? And I said,
I don't know.
Yes. I don't know.
Wherever you get the Michelins.
Exactly. Wherever the Michelins come from. I've even been there.
Yeah,
I've even been to
that,
both locations.
It's too abstract.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I will never remember the difference. Right now,
well, you
I
will.
Don't.
You will. But it'll take years.
Right. But right now, I don't know.
Of constant repetition.
Even using that example, I don't know. If you're out there and you need Michelins,
I don't know
which one.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Just Google Michelin.
Exactly. And that's amazing to me because I still – and it happened all the time on tests. It was like, what's the difference between – I'm trying to think of like words. You know, words that are really similar?
Well, here's the thing. Like I'll read something and I'll talk to someone about the book and they'll mention the name and I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Mm-mm.
And they're like, you know, the guy who like fell down the well and then grew wings. I'm like, yeah, I know that guy.
Yeah.
I don't know his name.
His name is Tiffany. Not a clue.
I have no idea what his name is.
Mm-mm.
So that's where I would always fail the test when they would say, you know, what did Jack do? I'm like, I don't know.
I know what every character did, but I don't know what Jack did.
Why they did it and the emotional state, but I don't know their name.
I'm with you. It's finite details in reading.
Yeah, and they test that. That's what they test, because it's so easy to measure that. Mm-hmm. Like, did you read it? You will know that Jack did this.
You will know that Jack was the main character. I know that the main character was related to this person, and this person did this to this person, and this person did that.
And I have a feeling that they did this because of this.
Yeah, because of this emotional trait of another person.
Slightly insinuated, you know.
I can get insinuations, everything like that.
I can talk all day about it.
Way harder to test on. Way harder to test on that. So why you're still going to say, what did Jack do? Failed.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And that's not fair.
Yeah. So was there, like, for me, there was a time when reading, like, when I liked to read, there was a time. And for a lot of young guys, it was like comic books or something. I wasn't really into comic books. I tried.
I thought you were a comic book guy.
I liked comics
you
in the 90s.
You made me read a comic
book. In the 90s, I liked comics. Okay. But when, as a kid, I wasn't exposed to comics.
Right.
And, you know, quite frankly, a lot of the comics were superheroes. I can't relate to a superhero in a lot of ways. Not now, I can.
Not definitely.
Well, as a kid, I couldn't.
Right.
I just wanted to be outside. Maybe. What got me hooked on reading was survival manuals.
Really?
Yeah. So my granddad was in World War II.
Okay.
And he fixed airplanes, and he was also kind of a pack rat.
That's
so when they were
cool.
trashing planes, he would take like the machetes and the survival things out of it and keep it.
That's awesome.
And so I grew up going through his stuff and just manual after manual, like how to survive in the Pacific Ocean if your plane goes down.
Right.
And these are all for World
War II.
That's
super cool.
And I read those. And
so now
you know, though. Yeah. Yeah.
Now you totally know.
Well, and I guess to me, too, like, you know, I still am. I'm kind of like a, like, what if everything collapses kind of guy.
That's why you have the bug-out car.
That's why I have the bug-out car, and that's why I keep it, you know, solar panel, and I got...
Exactly.
10 gallons of water in my basement. It just... I don't know.
You're prepared. I'm not.
I'm just like that. I'm that percentage of the population that might survive something bad.
And I'm the one that's going to come to your house.
Right, and you'll take all my stuff, because I don't believe in shooting people.
Exactly.
I think that's where I was like, I can't get enough of this.
Right.
And I would just sit, and I'd sit in my backyard. What
but
I
it would
still
take you a long time.
It would be a couple sentences and then a picture.
Right.
And I'd look at the picture and the diagram, and then I would try to do it in my backyard because I lived in a yard with a lake in Miami, you know. And so I'd get stuff, materials, and I'd try to replicate it.
See, the book I read now has about 5 pages, and then you're at a chapter.
Yeah, I like
so
that.
That's great
love
for me.
Short chapters.
Yeah, short chapters.
Or
it's
a
long book.
At least break it up. Give me like a little space so that I can stop,
breathe,
that thought,
mm-hmm.
close the book, and then come back to it the next day. Because, quite frankly, I probably won't remember a lot of what I read.
I always have felt like they could make books designed for people with either just
attention deficit
problems or dyslexia.
My dad thought I had that.
Yeah.
He's like, you're ADHD, like me, because my dad is.
And my thing. I've been tested over and over.
Like, no.
Even so has my brother. My brother's been tested for ADHD, and we.
No, because you put me in front of something broken, and I can just sit there and stare at it, and flip it around, and look at it until I come up with it. And then I'll take a walk, and I'm just putting it in my head, turning it around.
Yeah, like, putting it together.
I think I know what it is, and I'll go back and I'm like snap. Yep, that was it.
And then you can't do that if you have ADHD.
If you're ADHD, it's not. You do better in stressful situations when there's like 500 things to do. What are we going to do? ADHD is going to be like, woohoo, my brain.
I know exactly what to do.
It's so clear. Yeah.
It just keeps happening and happening and happening.
I'm
and I'm
so
on top
happy.
Of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it crashes.
Yeah. No, then he fixes it.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think that if you had like a book that was designed with like wide spaced paragraphs. So like what I mean by that is like there's a paragraph and then there's a long space in between it. And then another paragraph.
That could help.
I think that's something that could be. Even if I hate the idea of numbers, but like maybe even if they were numbered, so you could like remember or write down, you know, where you were. I think it could be really helpful to have your brain have a breath while you're reading. I've always thought that, like, because if I could like just, I'm like, I'm done right now in the last paragraph. Let me stop. When there's just those, especially textbooks, like textbooks that are like history textbooks, my freshman year. With Fedja Burek, and you have those really, really long paragraphs that go on for pages and pages and pages. I can't get interested in that.
It's tough.
But I am interested in the material.
Yeah, love history.
Yeah.
Just not the reading of it.
So I don't – yeah, exactly. So I don't know how that would work exactly, but I always thought that just having a place for your brain to take a breath while you're reading could be really helpful for people that either have ADHD or can't, or it's so difficult for them to read, you know, it's wearing them out that they need a break. They need a space.
Yeah. That's probably why I got my PhD in rhetoric and technical communication, because TechCom is all about communicating in a way that most people can understand quickly.
Right.
And that involves a lot of space, white space, images, you know, anything that helps you communicate to the masses.
And I think that would help a ton. I think that's why, what was really easy for me, interesting, quick jump onto writing, was whenever I did newspaper writing, like that class that we have for newspaper writing. It's like, make this as simple as possible. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can do that. I can do that all day long. I can write short, sweet sentences that make this simple.
And I think, I don't know, I don't have a lot of facts to prove this, but I feel like dyslexic people are better at this. I think we have a way of flipping an argument around in our heads to come up with the best angle for the given audience.
Yeah, yeah,
if we can do that, sure. I can do that quickly.
Yeah, I can do that. It's because we see things, it's because the way our brain works, and I think I've explained this before, our brain, scientifically, dyslexic brains are larger and have more wrinkles on them, stereotypically.
Hmm.
Did you know this?
No, we need to iron them out.
Exactly. Yeah. You need to iron them out and make it so we're just zombies.
Right, like, right. Yeah, okay, got it.
Anyway, you have to... We process much more information than other people.
Yeah, you were talking about
which
this.
Which is how it gets jumbled.
Remember this.
And I've heard this explained in a really simple way, and it's much more complicated than this, but it's like you have tons of water flowing into a reservoir, and you have no dam to stop it or organize it. You have no filtration system.
Okay.
So the dyslexic brain is a flowing river with no filtration system.
Okay.
So this training and these classes and the way that you learn to learn creates a filtration system for your brain. That's why you see very, very successful people a lot of times that are dyslexic, because they've learned to use their dyslexic, like we've said before, as like a superpower. You know, they've learned that they can do this, they can do that.
Like Richard Branson. A lot of people say Elon Musk.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely.
People that are involved in many, many things.
A lot of famous authors. The one that wrote Huckleberry Finn.
Yeah, Mark Twain.
Mark Twain was dyslexic.
Okay.
You know, they don't know, but if you look at his brain type.
They say
type
Thomas
and what he
Edison,
wrote,
I've heard. That, and you see these people, and they're doing like 20 different things at once.
Nikola Tesla.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, Nikola Tesla, side note, smartest person ever existed, probably.
Seems like it.
Yeah, but they learned the way to filter that water. So when you can do that, you can take in so much information and have it organized.
And channel it.
That's how you see these people, a lot of authors, a lot of people that are very up in the air minded. Like, I can see the whole picture, but when I need to go into the details is where I get lost. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's a lot more finite. But
and
when
it's
I'm
less
up
fun.
Here, yeah, and it's, you don't really want to do it anyway.
Yeah.
But those people need to exist.
Yeah.
Is what I've always said. I need, you need those people on your team. Like, Elon Musk has those technical people on his team.
That'll sit and look at code for 12 hours straight. Or
exactly.
And he does it too, apparently.
Right.
Like, I don't know how he does code if he's dyslexic.
That's got, yeah.
But I do see.
Well, you do some code, right?
I do, but it takes focus.
Right, which is probably what
I'm But if he, you know, I don't know if you're goal oriented, you know? So maybe there's a combination of that.
But that is how that is the last way I've read how the scientific explanation of how the dyslexic brain works. Mm-hmm. We don't know why it's like that. The biggest thing for that is, hereditary is what I've heard. So if your parents have it, you most likely have it. You can trace it back a lot of times. Like you said, your mother.
I'm pretty sure
your mother
had it. Based on my childhood and what she would tell me and not spell things. And
exactly. Yeah.
And barely finished high school.
My grandfather was probably dyslexic. My dad said that his dad was probably dyslexic. And you see it.
And you go back too far. And like most people had a fifth or sixth grade education. So,
yeah.
I mean.
How do you really know?
And a lot of that was memorization back then. Like, can you memorize this? I can memorize stuff. You tell me what to memorize and I'll memorize it.
We're the first. My generation and probably, well, maybe starting maybe around your generation is one of the first generations to actually be able to get a real medical history on, where there isn't all these like terrible things being done to your body. You're not drinking all the time. You're not smoking all the time. You know, you're not in bad work environments. You're in a healthy, good work environment where you can actually, I've talked about this with a doctor actually the other day, you can get a legitimate family history starting from your point on because you lived at
Most of your relatives lived longer than...
Exactly.
Right, I see what you mean.
So it was really interesting, and I think that works with the brain as well.
Wow.
Yeah. Isn't that neat to think about?
Yeah. And I, like, I would agree. I feel like, because we talk about that too. Like, I'll look, one of my strengths is, like, providing feedback on graphic design or websites or whatever. I'm like, that is a different font. That's a different size. This is a little bit lower than the other. And it's all obvious. Like, it's I saw it right away. As soon as they showed me, I saw
and
it.
And they made it and didn't know it.
And then they're like, oh, okay. Oh, I didn't see
that. I have that happen to me a lot. Yeah. Balance is a big thing with me. I can say, like, this is taller than this.
Yeah.
Without even looking, you know, knowing anything about it.
Yep.
It's really interesting.
Or it's not centered.
Yeah.
Like, no, it's centered. Like, no, totally not centered. Way off.
It's maybe right there.
At least 3/16.
Yeah. It's just, it's really driving me up the wall.
Yeah, you gotta fix it.
Until you move it. But yeah, that's, for me, that was kind of reading in a nutshell. Mm-hmm. And the Susan Barton program was helpful.
Susan Barton.
And really just figuring out what I was good at and what I wasn't.
So I would say if you have a child with dyslexia, or if you're dyslexic and you hate reading, keep at it. Find what you love.
That's
find what
big
drives
thing.
You. And then,
like your
books. then you'll want to do it. That, I think, was key. When I found the survival manuals, I just fell in love with that kind of reading.
Right.
And I know it wasn't considered real reading, but as like comic books or
but
whatever.
But it definitely
but
is now.
It's a step.
And it, yeah, and it so like is read. Now. Think about all the articles we read online and stuff like that. That's
short.
Yeah, that's all anybody reads now.
So, yeah. Congratulations, dyslexic people. We are now, we're now given bite-sized chunks to read.
Like we've always wanted.
Like we've always wanted. So next week, you want to just come up with something on the fly next week?
Yeah, we'll think of something. We'll write something out, probably. We have started, if you can tell, we've started to make these a little more prepared. And
but
I think
that means we're not at all prepared.
That's exactly what that means. We're prepared for us.
Yeah.
Which is not a lot.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
And we're going over. We're way over now. Man. We're like a minute 23 over.
So next time we'll throw something at you. Just be excited. Be a surprise.
Thanks for listening. And thanks for listening.